Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Bad decisions have bad consequences, often in the lives of those close to us. How do we unravel the messes we make when not acting with God's guidance, or messes we made before coming to Christ? Today, lessons from the Apostle Paul. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on making the best of a bad decision, Erwin Lutzer comes now to talk with us about what happens when we have hurt others.
Well, this is the seventh in a series of messages entitled Making the Best of a Bad Decision. We all have our share of bad decisions under our belt. We've all done things that we regret. And today I'm going to give it a different emphasis, namely, what about those decisions that we have made that have hurt others? Almost always when I preach, I'm talking about how to handle the hurts that others have inflicted upon us. Now I'm talking about those who do the hurting. And usually there are so fewer of those. You just can't find them anywhere. But they exist. For every hurt, there's a hurter. Perhaps you've abused a child. Perhaps you have been untrue to your marriage vows. Perhaps you've hurt others through deceit and deception because of greed and because of pride. And today, we've all hurt others, I'm sure. What do we do about the decisions that we have made that have hurt others? That's the agenda. I'm going to use the Apostle Paul as an example. I struggle with this somewhat because the example of the Apostle Paul reminds us of what he was like before he was a Christian. And so we're going to turn to two passages of Scripture, the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, first of all, and then we're going to go into Timothy and find out how Paul handled his past, which hurt an awful lot of others. But if you have your Bible, please turn to the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, because it is a dramatic story that we need to read. At this time, the Apostle Paul's name was Saul. Later on, it was changed. And the Bible tells us that when Stephen was being stoned, Saul was there consenting to his death, and they took Stephen's clothes and they laid them at the feet of Saul. Why did they do that? It showed that they were saying is, look, we've done exactly what you wanted us to do. Aren't you proud of us? Here are his clothes. As they stoned Stephen. Chapter 9 of the book of Acts opens with these words, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that he found any belonging to the way. The way refers to Christians, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul arose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Well, in the intervening verses, he meets a man by the name of Ananias, who had to be convinced that Paul was converted. He thought that it was a trick. The whole church thought that it was the trick. Imagine if Osama bin Laden said, I'm a Christian and I'd like to attend your synagogue or your church. We'd say, yeah, really, spare me. That's what it was in these people's minds. But notice it says in the middle of verse 19, for some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And he has not come here, and has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. What a conversion story. Notice this, how sudden it was. He's going along and he's struck to the ground by light, and he actually sees Jesus, we learn in another passage. He sees Jesus so clearly that later on he'll say, I saw Christ in the flesh. And he was suddenly converted to Christianity and to Jesus, whom he was persecuting. Now, you and I do not have a dramatic conversion story like that, I'm sure. But when we passed from death unto life, we also crossed a line, and we also crossed from darkness into light at a very specific point in time. Conversion happens in a moment. Remember that. Birth happens in a moment or two. There may be a period of gestation, and then there's growth afterwards, but when Jesus said you must be born again, it is an experience. And so I have to ask you, have you actually had the experience of being converted? Maybe you don't remember the exact time, but if you're converted, there was a time when you were converted. It was a sudden experience. It was also a very transforming experience, come to think of it. It transformed his mind. He thought that Jesus was a false Messiah. He couldn't believe that Jesus, who died on the cross, could be the Messiah, because that was a curse. And he couldn't imagine that Messiah would be cursed, but Messiah was to be blessed. And so he couldn't accept Jesus. Now suddenly he becomes absolutely convinced that Jesus fits the picture. He fits the puzzle. And now he begins to convince people that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. Changed his mind, changed his heart. He couldn't stand these Christians. He hated them. Now he loves them. He couldn't stand Jesus. Now he loves Jesus. God changes his affections. That's, by the way, proof that you've been converted. You see, you and I can't wake up in the morning on our own and saying, today I'm going to love Jesus. We can wake up and say, today I'm going to study Jesus. Today I might even admire Jesus. But we can't create the love out of nothing. It's not like tap water that you can turn on and off. When we love Jesus, when we love him whom we have not seen, it is a love that is implanted in our hearts by God. That's why we love him. Changed his affections. It changed the direction of his life. Now he's proclaiming Christ. It was a sudden conversion. It was a transforming conversion. It was a lasting conversion. Paul spends the rest of his life doing this. Have you ever noticed when somebody gets converted? Maybe a young person in a home and the parents aren't saved. They say, well, he'll get over it. It's a flash in the pan. Well, for some it might be. For Paul, it lasted until he came to the end of his life and he was able to say, now I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. What a transformation of life. Now the question I want to ask today is, how did Paul put these bad decisions, the persecution of Christians, how did he deal with his past? That's a good question. Because if you're here today as an adult, you have a past. Some people's past may be a lot better than others, but we're all here. Well, for that, we turn to 1 Timothy, where the Apostle Paul gives us some hint regarding how he regarded his past. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He's writing to the young man Timothy. He writes two letters to him. This is the first of the two letters. Chapter 1, verse 12, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though I formerly was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. I love the King James at this point, of whom I am chief. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the chief of sinners, as the foremost, Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. No wonder he ends by saying, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. How does Paul make the best of his past bad decisions? First of all, he admits what he did. He says, I was a blasphemer because I spoke against Jesus. And you can blaspheme Jesus by denying his lordship, by denying his messiahship. That is blasphemy. Paul says, I was a blasphemer. He says, I was a persecutor. I wanted to bind people and bring them to Jerusalem. I delighted in the death of Stephen. I was the one who had murderous threats in my heart. I persecuted the church. I tried to get Christians to deny the faith. And then he says, I was an insolent opponent. It's not a word we use too often, but you know what it means in Greek? It means I was guilty of brutal violence. Hubris really means sadistic cruelty. The kind of person who delights in making other people squirm, who delights in the power, who delights in the revenge, and he loves to see others suffer. Paul says, that's the kind of person I was. Step number one, when we try to make the best of decisions that have hurt others, could we at least admit that we've made these decisions? Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Luther. When God begins to make the best of our bad decisions, it always begins by an acknowledgement on our part, an acknowledgement of the truth and the bad decisions we have made. Thank God that the Apostle Paul gives us an example of that. Perhaps as you have been listening today, your heart has been touched. How wonderful it would be if you would discover that your relationship with God is renewed as you submit to him, as you are honest in his presence, and as you begin the journey of seeing his grace in the midst of your bad decisions. Let's trust him for that. And I'll see you right here next time on Running to Win as we continue the series, Making the Best of a Bad Decision.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Erwin Lutzer introduced a message on When We Have Hurt Others, the last in a 7-part series on making the best of a bad decision. Next time, more from Paul's writings on how he made the best of his bad decisions. Making the Best of a Bad Decision can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.